It's 7 minutes past 11, a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
In the first hour, we've had some...
You're on now.
Sorry. Oh, we're on now. Okay, that's great. We love live radio listeners. In the first hour, it was really interesting hearing, you know, Angel Plight, and then hearing what Dr. Ato was talking about with regards to well-being and happiness. The next hour, it takes on another theme itself, and I'm really delighted to have in the studio Jean-Marcel Maliarte. How did I go?
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, Jean-Marcel Maliarte.
I was going to say Jean-Marcel, yes. Yeah. Welcome to Alive 90.5.
Thank you very much.
Welcome to the studio, and it's great to have you here today.
Thank you. What a beautiful day to be outdoors as well, to be here.
C'est bien.
It is. Now, your life has taken on a different direction in terms of what you're doing, in terms of where you are, and that from the 1st of April. You're now doing things primarily for yourself, in the sense of your own business and so on?
Yes, yeah. I was working with a company that I founded since 1995.
Yes.
As a mediator and family dispute resolution practitioner. And I've recently qualified as an investigator with government agencies and New South Wales Police and Victorian Police. So I'm starting out in my own practice again as a mediator and investigator. Yeah.
I'd really like to talk, if I can, Jean-Marcel, in terms of mediation and conflict resolution, particularly in breakdowns in marriages and a whole range of things, because sure. That's a very interesting and contemporary phenomenon, if I can put it in that context, a move away from lawyers but still the same rigour and outcomes.
Sure. The reason why we have a lot of success is because we help mum and dad to focus on their children. So whilst we talk about their relationship, which is usually ended as partners, we also reinforce that their relationship as parents needs to continue, and that helps a bit of a mind shift, and also it moves the conflict aside for us to be able to work out what they really want as parents to co-parent.
There's so many questions I could ask you, and to do that, if I can say this is my take on the situation, the legal process can become so complex, emotionally draining, and also commercially draining. And anecdotal evidence that I've read and observed from people is the process that you undertake can cut many corners and get really better, same as or better outcomes for people. That's me saying that. Yes. That's my take.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think in the Family Law Act it says in the best interests of the child or children, but through litigation often mum and dad end up not speaking to each other. They end up spending thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars, and the fight goes on and on and on. Whereas mediation or family dispute resolution can help them within 1 to 2 weeks.
I find that really interesting. And the reason, listeners, that we're talking to Jean-Marcel is to try and just have a look at a contemporary way to handle complex problems that happen in people's lives. I think it's something of the statistics of 1 in 3 or 2 in 3 marriages or relationships are breaking down. And that's a big ticket item for me, and it breaks down so many other things. So that's why we're delighted to have you here in the studios. And I know Darren's got lots of questions to ask, but Darren, you want to?
I just had a question. Sure. to talk about being someone, a child who went through a divorce, and there's many families who have divorced, but also being there listening to my parents talk or argue, as it might be, I learnt a lot about how people, and something I've learnt to say over time, is that they listen to respond but not listen to understand. What's your take on that?
Sure. Conflict resolution is ideally mediation in a more structured, you know, mediation is more structured in terms of delivery, but there are some basic conflict resolution skills. And when the emotionality is high, a lot of people find it very difficult to listen and, as you say, understand. So rather than responding, which is almost ideal, they react. So when our emotions are heightened, we react and things get worse if we don't get somebody that's impartial or third party that's impartial that can assist each party to have a voice and each party to listen to each other, make a list of the issues and discuss each one separately.
Just a question for you as well, and it's a bit of without notice, but as the mediator, do you find it can be very hard to actually engage with both people who are in front of you because they're both seeking someone for their side, but they're not going to get it, no doubt, and you can share that with us. Is that a real struggle, and how do you actually work through that in your own personal development to be the best mediator you can be?
Yeah, that's a good question, Darren. Look, since starting in this area, I've also found that co-mediation, having a female mediator and a male mediator, especially when working with mum and dad, is the only way one can remain impartial. There's no neutrality. And so having a male and a female, we then balance the gender issues quite well. And I really only do co-mediation, which is proven to be highly successful because both parents walk out feeling as though they've had their issues dealt with and their agreements stick, you know, they can live with it. Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting model. Again, I've learned something from that, Darren. It's about getting the outcome, and that's what you're really trying to say, the best outcome in the interest of the stakeholders.
That's right, especially the children.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so much to talk to you about. You have such a presence in the way you make people feel calm. I'm just letting listeners know we have the fortunate or the ability to be able to see your eyes and your body language and everything that many don't see. And you have a very calming influence. I just tell you that.
Thank you.
I could see you doing that. Talk us through some of the things without two specifics that people have tried to hold on to or has been really difficult in that negotiation, mediation.
Sure. Well, often, and as humans, we can't help stepping back into the past. So the blame, you know, we need to hear each person with their opening statement to start with. And so there's a lot of blame in that opening statement. You did this, you had this, and if you hadn't done this. Yes, yeah, or you didn't do it. So we need to hear them as mediators. We need to let them vent, so to speak. And once they've done that, we then draw a timeline to suggest that we've heard the past, here we are now, and what we need to do is craft the future through an agreement or through agreements that you can all live with. In the best interest of your children, obviously, if they have children. So there is a definite process and the timeline is very important so that they can move forward. Yeah.
And how do you have we got time or we've got to go to a break?
I was just going to say, it's just about a break, but before we do, Jean-Michel, I believe you have a song choice for us.
Yes, one of my favourite songs is That's Amore, and I love singing that at karaoke whenever I get the chance. That's well, my way.
Why don't we get Jean?
we'll let Dee Martin and Frank Sinatra. We'll let Dee Martin and Frank Sinatra do it. You're on a live 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren, and here is That's Amore.
Alive 90.5.
It's 20 minutes past 11. Alive 90.5 Spotlight with Jim and Darren.
Really delighted to have in the studios Jean-Michel Maliati.
Yes,
I'm getting better, and it's really I'm really excited because you're talking about, sadly, a breakdown in relationships and the consequences of not getting it right in the segregation of assets and people and a whole range of different things. That's on the relationships, partnership, marriage acts, all of that stuff. But one of your other roles is looking at the workplace and aspects that take place as a result of relationships in the workplace, particularly bullying. Talk us through that.
Sure. For 3 years, I worked with a major government organisation as a workplace behaviour advisor, and I learned a lot about other behaviours, mainly the covert behaviours, the ones that you don't see in the lift and people pushing each other, shouting at each other. There are actually 24 behaviours that constitute bullying. And so it sometimes starts with a joke or banter, which some people can accept, some people can't. And then it gets worse and worse, right to the point where it becomes, you know, really toxic, and it can be physically harmful. Even murder has occurred. A doctor, you know, shot another doctor years ago in South Australia in the back as a result of 15 years of ongoing bullying. I won't mention any names, there's a book written on it as well. Yeah.
Darren, any questions or thoughts?
My thoughts is, yes, being there, being on the side of being bullied, and a long time ago, but it makes you stronger in the resolve to understand where everyone's coming from, so you can try and connect with them. But then you also understand that for some people, it's part of what drives them, and I feel sad about that for those sort of people. So it's good to have someone like yourself to be able to mediate in those situations, because you no doubt have seen it all, done it all, and helped try and resolve it all as well. So just on that, if I may, is there anything, without names of course, of a case where you thought it wasn't going to get resolved, but you did resolve it in the end?
Yes, one particular case stands out where HR had been informed of shouting, pushing between two medical staff, and my role was to offer them an alternative. And so, cut a long story short, we ended up, I asked some questions. They'd been working together for 14 years. They had a really good relationship, and we mediated with their manager. Without HR's blessing, I might add. And because it was confidential, the problem had occurred 3 weeks ago with their husbands, who inappropriately, you know, put their hand on the other person's wife after a boozy lunch. And so things had got really out of hand, and that's what caused the problem at work. So after the mediation, which only lasted for 2 hours, they were crying, they hugged each other. They agreed to get back to work and leave the husbands out of their social life for 6 months. So when I followed up with the manager, that she said, "I don't know what you did, but they seem to be on happy pills." You know, you know. So
just exploring that, if I may, you may have done your own research or read research about these sorts of things. When someone has a grief or kind of like something, I'm having a bit of a spat with you, say. Is there an emotional element that they needed to go through to help resolve that? So I was just listening to you there, and you're saying, well, they had a good cry. Is that actually needed?
Well, a lot of the mediations that I've been involved with, there's what's called a transformation effect, which is, again, recognizing what the other person's saying and how they feel, a bit of empathy. And sometimes when that occurs, one person says sorry and the other one person also says sorry, because they both realise the situation they're in could be due to other people. And then from then on, we have a real change in their attitude, and sometimes you can see the emotional release, and sometimes we have a break at that time to just let themselves, you know, get together, and then we resume. But you're right. Obviously the emotions are pent up, and sometimes the release of that is what helps people get back to, you know, discussion and agreement. Yeah.
And one of the things that really, I shouldn't use the word interest, but one of the things that saddens me, I think that's even a better term, is what some people think is funny or public, in the sense to, in many ways, to demoralise someone, to get a laugh for whatever reason. And I take great umbrage at that.
Yes, yeah, humiliation is one of the bullying behaviours.
Yeah. Oh, it's only a joke.
Yeah.
Oh, it's only joking.
Get over it.
Yeah, get over and there's motive behind what they say, do or omit. In context, there's a really interesting line I often use. It says, "There is your view of something, my view of something, and then the truth."
Yes, you're absolutely right.
In relation to that situation, you must be kept very busy at the moment with regards to many things happening in the workplace, because COVID itself has created many challenges for people.
Yes. Yeah. We have been using Zoom, but, you know, I spent the last 2.5 years in Victoria, and Zoom is, whilst it provides a platform, but it's not the same as the body language that's sense in the room and people, you know, having a break. Zoom provides an opportunity, but it's not, you know, as good as face-to-face mediation. And so New South Wales, I think, is a lot more fortunate. We've taken a lot more care, and people are, you know, practicing the safe distancing and the right approach to making sure they're safe. And so looking forward to doing more work in the workplace, as well as with mums and dads. So, yeah.
And the other part of that I was thinking was, you know, COVID has created a whole range of different work-life balances at homes, which is causing stress amongst organisations, because quite often many of them want them to come back to work in a physical sense, and people have set up a normalised COVID work-life balance, which is causing, as I said, some type of a pressure.
Yes, yeah. Conflict is easily felt and sometimes avoided, and until it, you know, raises its ugly head, and sometimes then it's a bit late. But it's certainly worthwhile addressing conflict and, you know, talking about issues and being able to express your needs and interests and looking at options and then developing an agreement. So there's a process there, but a lot of people shout louder or, you know, isolate the other person or pout or, you know, remove themselves and disappear for a while or slow down work or, you know, stamp their feet, you know, all those sorts of behaviours.
And from a business point of view, if I can just say, Darren, if you look at the expense of labour or employees as of total revenue, it can be anywhere between 35 and 70%. And we would love to have you come back and talk to us about the impact and how you can find solutions to get greater productivity from your staff as a result of changing those things. It has been a delight to have you with us today, and we hope that you continue to do the great work you do for families and for people in the workplace. Thanks for joining Darren and myself on 90.5 Spotlight.
Thank you, Jean-Michel. And just quickly, if people want to get in contact with you and talk more about mediation, how can they get in contact?
Well, it'd be if they were to contact you at the radio station and you could forward that on to me, I'd really appreciate it.
We can do that for you. Okay. Thank you for being with us this morning. It's 29 minutes past 11 on Spotlight.
Thank you.
Alive 90.5.